I'm sitting here with David Stacks, the director of the Texas Prison Museum. It is Monday, October 24th at approximately 1:07 p.m. How are you doing today, Mr. Stacks?
I'm doing well. Thank you, sir.
So I read that you began your career as a correctional officer at the Byrd Unit and eventually worked your way up to become the deputy director of the prison system before your retirement. What year did you begin your career in the TDCJ?
I started my career as a correctional officer in 1979.
Okay. So in 79, so lethal injection was implemented in 1977. So that was only 2 years before you began your career in the TDCJ. So you essentially entered a new system in regard to how the state dealt with capital punishment. Can you explain how your initial role as a correctional officer influenced your own attitude toward the death penalty at this specific time?
Actually, when I came to work for the prison system, that really wasn't even a thought in my daily routine as a correctional officer. Working at the Byrd Unit, I had very limited contact with inmates that were on death row or sentenced to death. And the reasons for that is when a person is sentenced to death at that particular time, they would come to the diagnostic unit, or the Byrd Unit as it's called now, and we would take a mugshot, we would fingerprint them, give them a number, and then they would then be quickly moved out to the Ellis unit where they were being kept at that time, during that time frame. And then once they got to the unit out there, they would then perform the rest of the sociology type interviews out there. My other interaction with death row at diagnostic was those individuals that were, their sentences were commuted to life, and was able to get off the row. And those guys, what I found them to be is no different than an inmate who was doing time for theft or robbery or whatever. Although there were a couple of them that were pretty cold-blooded individuals. But because technicality, they got their sentences commuted. But all in all of them pretty much had the same type of outlook on life and mentality on prison life and things of that nature.
So therefore, your own personal attitude wasn't really influenced because there wasn't really a big...
No, I was raised in a home where we were biblically taught, and you know, the Bible certainly talks about forgiveness and thank goodness for Christ and for dying for my sins. But you know, the New Testament also says if you live by the sword, you'll die by the sword. So you know, it supports the death penalty. There'll be a lot of people that would argue that, but I was raised in a home where the death penalty was not frowned upon. It was something that we were raised in the household to believe that some crimes needed to be dealt with in that manner.
Yes, sir. So that was in 1979 that you began your career. So specifically, regarding lethal injection, Charlie Brooks Jr., the first individual who was executed in the state of Texas by lethal injection. So what was your position when he was executed?
I was still a correctional officer at the time at the diagnostic unit. Just a few months later, I was promoted to a rank of lieutenant then on the Ramsey unit. I never did meet Charlie Brooks, never had a conversation with him, but I recall that was a very big to-do at that time because it was the first time that Texas had carried out a death sentence with the lethal injection. As you well know, and you've done your research, the electric chair was used for several years from 24 to 64, and 361 men died in that chair. No women were ever executed in that chair. But the Charlie Brooks was the first one, and there was a somewhat of a carnival-type atmosphere, I remember, in the Walls unit, those that were just totally against it and those that were for it. So a lot of them were college students that were some protesting against, some, you know, promoting the death penalty.
So you remember the day of the execution?
I don't remember the exact date, but I do remember going by there and seeing the multitudes of people.
On the 7th, December 7th of 1982?
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me about that day a little bit, what you saw when you drove by?
You know, what I saw was just, like I say, a good word would be multitude. There was a multitude of people there. Like I say, there were a lot of young adults there. Primarily, I would say, were college kids. But then there were those that were adamant about anti-death penalty. Most of the students were pro-death penalty from what I observed. There was significant, it's kind of like your Home Depot Saturday football atmosphere there, I would say, as bad as I'd hate to say it, but that was kind of like the atmosphere of it at that time.
So overall, the state's reaction to the execution, do you remember the, was it controversial or was it in favor?
As far as the agency?
The specific execution of Charlie Brooks, given that it was new,
a new method.
No,
I don't think it was, I don't recall there being any significant headlines that were just outrageously upset that this person lost his life, because that was what he was sentenced for. And I think if you were to talk to most anybody else in the agency that has to work, has had to work an execution, would tell you that it's not something that they look forward to being a part of. But, you know, that is the law of the state of Texas, and as officials of the state of Texas, we have a responsibility to carry out that law. I would think that most of the people are hoping that that person has got himself right with his God, and will have a better afterlife.
So, in regard, and this kind of goes with that, comparing it to hanging and electrocution, was it considered cruel, or were more people in favor of it because it was considered to be less cruel compared to the recent methods that had been used in the state?
From all the discussions that I've seen and what I have heard, is those that it's kind of like those that are totally against the death penalty. I don't think it matters what method you use to carry out that sentence, they're going to be totally against it.
Right.
I think those individuals that are for the death penalty, I think there's a lot of people that I have talked to that would still think that a public execution would be more of a deterrent than what it is now. Of course, that's why that the state of Texas put the carrying out the sentence of death away from the counties and gave it to the state of Texas prison system, because it was such a carnival type atmosphere at the hangings and things of that nature. It was more of a, it didn't speak well of our humanity. So that's when the legislature chose that the prison system would take over the carrying out the executions in 1924, and had been doing so ever since. Certainly, I think the death penalty, the way we carry it out today, is probably as humane as it's going to be. The method in which they're being used, these people go to sleep. And I do understand why people would say that those people are hurting when they take their last breath. But what people need to understand is the medication that's being used is in the same class of drug that they use on us in surgeries. And I've had several surgeries, and I've known several people who've had surgeries, and we didn't wake up from that surgery and say, nurse, would you please go get that anesthesiologist, because I want a piece of their ass. What they gave me hurt. If anything, you say, can you get the anesthesiologist, because I want some more of that stuff so I don't hurt. So there's really no factual basis that it hurts. Do they gurgle sometimes when they take their last breath? Yes, but so does somebody that snores at night. You know, so if you've got...
With like sleep apnea, yeah.
If you've got a fatty airway, and I guess that's the only way I can describe it, you're going to make a gurgling sound. You know, the fact is, and this is not to be a joke, but there's never been one complaint that it hurt. Okay?
Right.
But the facts is, when you take that along with the fact that the same narcotics are being used to take care of this individual's last sentence of death, there's not any factual basis that it hurts. Not that I've been able to identify or research and find.
So, like, going off of that, since 1982, since Charlie Brooks was executed, has there ever been, like, I guess, a controversial case in which, like, an inmate has gotten up off the table or, you know, like, screamed in agonizing pain, like, that the medicine was...
Not that I know of. I've never heard of anything like that. The only botched execution that I'm aware of, I believe it occurred in Oklahoma, The state carried out an execution. I believe it was Oklahoma, and I don't want to give them the prize for that if I'm wrong, but that execution did not go well, and it appeared from what everything I've read that that guy did suffer to some degree. That's something that we don't want. I don't think anybody would want that to happen. I certainly don't want anybody to suffer that way. Yeah, I mean, people would say, well, the victims of the crime, they suffered a lot more. Well, yes, they did. But as a judicial type of process, I don't think we should be cruel and beyond punishment in what we have to carry out the sentence. Yes, that's sir. Just my opinion.
Do you know what prompted the implementation and the introduction of lethal injection, like specifically in the state of Texas? Did it have anything to do with Gregg versus Georgia and Furman versus Georgia back in the 60s?
Well, I don't know that that necessarily had anything to do with it. I know that we were the second state in the Union to adopt lethal injection. Oklahoma was the first.
Oklahoma was the first?
Mm-hmm. Texas was the second underneath Governor Adolph Briscoe's reign as governor. I think that, Georgia versus Furman had a lot to do with the appellate process, you know. Again, I'm not an expert in it, but I believe prior to Furman versus Georgia, there was not an automatic appeal process. I may be wrong, but there certainly is now. Whether the inmate that gets sentenced to death wants an appeal, it's an automatic appeal. And then any appeals thereafter is up to him and his legal team to bring those forward.
And then since Brooks's execution in 1982, has there been any indication that the TDCJ may change their method of execution once again?
No, not that I'm aware of.
Because what could we possibly introduce?
The agency at one time had some difficulties, I believe, getting some of the drugs necessary to carry out a sentence, but I can't imagine that the agency would ever go back to any other type of method of carrying out that sentence. To me, that is the most peaceful way to end someone's life. You know, to me, that's, I don't think there's a better way. I've heard people say, well, the guillotine is the quickest because it automatically severs the spine and the spinal cord and all that. But that's pretty gruesome when just think about it. So I don't think the state of Texas would consider anything else other than what they're doing right now.
Two of these questions, you've done a perfect job. You answered them in addition to some of the other questions. And it was basically just, is lethal injection, do you believe that lethal injection is more humane or a more humane or efficient way to execute inmates? And you said...
Well, I think it's more humane.
Efficiently, though, compared to the other methods?
Well, you know, it depends how you want to define efficient. If we're talking about quickness, mm-hmm. I would say yes, it is. If we're talking about monetary, probably not, you know. But from a basically a humane, efficient way of ending a person's life that has been tried by his peers and sentenced to that, that is by far, I think, the very best way to carry out such a sentence.
And then compared to, from what you've witnessed throughout your career and the knowledge you've obtained, compared to our past methods of execution, so hanging and then electrocution, you obviously believe that lethal injection is better as opposed to those two?
Yes, I do. I think that, you know, vengeance, a lot of people want to let their vengeance come out, and they would then be more supportive of an electric chair or a hangman's noose. But, you know, it's not for us to be to have revenge. It's to carry out justice. And I think that sentence, the way it's being carried out now in Texas, I think that's by all means the very best way for the state to carry that out and give dignity to that person.
Throughout your career with the TDCJ, how did the attitudes surrounding the death penalty change, if at all? So I know that you said at the beginning when you came as a correctional officer, on your mind it wasn't even apparent to you, and to everybody else it wasn't really even like a known thing. But obviously, like, that has changed, like, over the past just decade alone. So how has that changed from what you'd seen throughout your own career?
Well, I think the biggest change for me is the way that the courts are now starting to rule. You're starting to see now in Texas, you're starting to see people who get a life sentence without parole, and they get that as opposed to the death penalty. And I do believe that you're going to see less and less and less sentences of death being issued out because it is such an expensive sentence to hand down. By the time a person gets to his last appeal and it's time for that sentence to be carried through, there has just been ungodly amounts of money spent adjudicating that appellate process. I think we've already seen it in Texas. The death penalty doesn't get handed out very often anymore. And you take a county that is very limited in resources, it can pretty well bankrupt a county as much as it almost did over in Jasper when they had the Byrd trial over there. It pretty well.
How long ago was that in Jasper?
That was in the 90s, I believe.
Oh, wow.
If I remember correctly.
Oh, so that wasn't even. Like 30, it was 30 years ago.
Yeah.
That's recent.
Yeah.
Did working with inmates influence your personal attitude toward the death penalty at all? Like after, like you talked about how, you know, you grew up in a household and to each their own, but you know, I'm just curious to know, like, was there a certain type of offender, a specific offender that you had come into contact with that you knew had committed a crime that possibly influenced, you know, the way that you felt about them and how their sentence or punishment should be carried out?
There's one in particular. when I was a young major down on retrieve unit years ago, we had an inmate in our population who had been on death row once before. His name was Kenneth McDuff. And Kenneth McDuff was the only inmate ever to be put on death row twice. He was originally put on death row for killing two young boys and a young lady, a young girl. And when the Supreme Court ruled that the death penalty was unconstitutional and they overturned it with Furman versus Georgia, he got a life sentence. Now, it was not a life sentence without parole because there was no such sentence back then. But he was put in the population like all the inmates were on death row. And I got to know that guy pretty good, and if anybody deserved to be executed, he did. Unfortunately, our parole board let this guy out. And within the first, I think, 90 days of his release, he had already committed his first killing. And within 2.5 years, I believe he ended up killing 17 people. He liked to prey on little young girls.
17.
But he was a sure enough serial killer, and he was just when you looked in his eyes, there wasn't a whole lot there.
It's like that black, beady, like hollow look. Like I know exactly
and
what.
He's no longer with us. He's been his sentence has been carried out, and the world's a better place because of it. But yeah, that type of individual comes to mind immediately, and there's been some others I've dealt with that didn't get the death penalty that probably should have.
Yeah.
You know, in my observation, not only of what their sentence was, but the way they conducted themselves once they got into the prison environment.
And then I just have two reflective questions real quick. Sure. Overall, and we've kind of talked about this throughout the interview, but overall, what do you believe the pros and cons to be of both electrocution and lethal injection, if you were to compare the two?
Well, not ever having witnessed a electrocution sentence carried out, only reading it from some of the research I've done, that appears to be more of a gruesome, more of a revengeful type of sentence, carrying out of a sentence. It appears to be, from what I've read, one that is not necessarily the majority of the people in our country anymore want that. The ones that I have visited with, they're still okay with the death sentence carried out in the lethal injection. You know, it's hard to say whether or not the death penalty is a deterrent to crime. That's one of the things that people always say. Well, I can tell you this. It's a deterrent to that one. He will never or she will never do another crime. And I think if you were to carry out the sentences in a way that was a little bit more public and do it in the right way, I think it might have more of an effect. But again, that's just strictly my opinion.
And then during your career with the TDCJ, was there a specific execution that made you think differently about the method of execution used?
No, I can't say that it has. You know, I reflect back on a previous statement I said, the victims of these perpetrators that received the death penalty, what they did to these people was just beyond being human.
Yeah.
Whether they were in their right mind because they were under the influence of a chemical or whatever the case may be, everybody has a conscience. And there's no doubt. Even this guy is telling about Ken McDuff. He had a conscience. He knew right from wrong, but he chose to do wrong because he was basically a bully and enjoyed being bullying people. So, no, I don't think so.
Okay. Well, that pretty much that's the interview. Thank you so much again for your time today, and I greatly appreciate this, Mr. Stacks.
Thank you very much. Enjoyed it.
Yes, sir.